Donnie and her little spiel kind of stole my whole sermon, but that's the way it goes. You get to hear it twice this morning. It's so good. Don't you love it the way the Holy Spirit comes together and, you know, just touches? He's for you. Do you know that this morning? And I know I see faces. I see what we're going through, and even people that aren't here today, that God is touching them. God wants you to know that He's for you. He's got you in His hands, and He knows. He's not surprised by what we're going through. We try to figure it out, but we can't. We got to take Jesus His way. And there are times, you know, I've taught faith for years and years and years and years now, and I still teach faith because I believe in faith. But I think sometimes when our faith is just, it's like we're hanging on, but it doesn't seem to work like we want it to, then we just have to turn over to complete trust. God, I trust You. At the end of the day, I trust You, right? And He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Glory to God. I want to make an announcement. I made an announcement last week, and somebody thought I was really going to make this life-altering announcement, and it was just part of what I said. But I want to tell you for a fact that Jesus is coming. Let me say that again. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Soon and very soon. Amen. I believe it could be any day. But, you know, the Bible talks about it. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We've got to look for Jesus as He's coming, not as we want Him to come. Let me say that again. We have to have an expectation of His coming based on who He is, not what we want. But at this time, in this season, life is crazy. What we've seen in our country, what we've seen in the church, what we've seen denominations just going crazy. It's like, well, no, we have to be accepting of everybody. And, you know, after Jesus loves everybody, and He does, but His Word is still His Word. Let me say that again. His Word is still His Word, and He still is true to His Word. Glory to God. But this morning, I want you to see that He's got your back. And there's nothing that we're going to face that He hasn't already prepared a way for us to go through whatever we're going to go through. Amen. I mean, I'm convinced that the church, you know, is not going to go through the tribulation, and that's what I believe, but I know many others don't believe that way. I know that whatever happens, I know that God is going to go with me through it. And look at, I might not go through the great tribulation, but all of us go through tribulation. In fact, it's one of the promises Jesus left with. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But the second part is the part that we need to focus on. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And I'm with you and I'm for you. But again, in Luke chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse 28. And it's talking about the triumphal entry. And I'll make some comments on that and just prepare us for what He's going to do. Luke chapter 19. Starting in verse 28. It says, and when He had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when He drew near to Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, He went to His disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied to on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you why you are loosing it, say this, you shall say to them, because the Lord has need of it. Those who were sent went their way and found it just as He said to them. But as when they were loosing the colt, the owner said of it, why are you loosing the colt? And they said to Him, the Lord has need of him. That's a miracle right there. I mean, we'd have been busting them in the head. What are you taking my donkey for? Right? Well, the Lord needs it. Okay. And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw even their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him, and they went and spread their clothes on the road. And as now they were drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice with the mighty works that they'd seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." You know, in this story and in him writing in, that's all prophecy that's being fulfilled of the Messiah that was coming. This is all prophetic. And you see, they had a view of prophecy that was based on their expectation and not exactly on the spirit of what the prophecy was. In other words, they were looking, as Donnie said earlier, they were looking for somebody to come and set up the earthly kingdom so that they could get out of the oppression of the Romans. And so they saw Jesus, they saw what he did, they saw his, you know, the miracles that he people raised from the dead. This has got to be the Messiah. And he was. But they didn't understand the totality of the prophecy. Because Jesus did prophesy that he was coming not just once, but twice. And the first time, he came as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. But when he comes again, he's not coming as a lamb. He's coming as a lion. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. When he's going to set things in order and he's coming back at a place where he is going to take care of some business. Right? So sometimes we read the Word and we see promises of God and we want to view them through our expectations when we should spend a little more time with the Holy Spirit and say, "Lord, what are you really saying here?" Right? What are you really saying? Because if you start acting on your own thinking, sometimes we can have him be something that he's not or something that he's not yet. And he wants us to know that we are his children. Jesus was preparing his disciples for what was going to happen. And his disciples didn't even understand what he was saying. They'd walked with Jesus. They'd talked with Jesus. They'd been with Jesus. And they were still clueless. But before you're too hard on them, we can be the same way. But God wants us to know. He's speaking, and he'll speak to us, but we've got to have an ear to hear what he's saying. Right? I mean, this world is nuts. What we've seen in the last 10 years, the last 20 years, I mean, 30 years ago when it was a completely different place, a completely different world. But today we're seeing things that it's just like, what happened? Could you imagine being in a coma, you know, 20 years ago, and you wake up from the coma and you get, what happened? People have lost their minds, right? But that's the enemy trying to get at us, right? But here's the deal. If we'll stay with the Holy Spirit will always lead us into the truth. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit will always lead us into the truth. And the truth will always be in line with the Word, but not the Word that we necessarily through tradition have a mindset of, but the spirit of the Word that the Holy Spirit knows. You think, well, yeah, look at those Jewish people, all their traditions. Did you know Christians have a lot of traditions? You know, I have teaching based on what I was taught that was taught to people by other people, and there's sometimes I've gotten into the Word and go, you know, there's something not quite right there. And I have to go in there and decipher it for myself and let the Holy Spirit put His spin on it, right? Hallelujah. Let's go first to Luke chapter 20. And we're going to start in verse 27. It says, "And then some of the Sadducees, who denied that there was a resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man brother dies having a wife, he dies without children, and his brother should take his wife and raise up offsprings for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took her as a wife, and he died with no childless, and the third, so on and so forth." And then verse 33, it says, "Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife does she become? For all seven had her as a wife." Now listen to what Jesus said. I think they're trying to trap him, but they're also, you know, they're thinking from their earthly standpoint. They're thinking from the standpoint of, this is how life is right now. Under the law, this is what happens, but what's going to happen there? And it's interesting because we have an idea of what's going to happen there, but in many ways we're clueless what's going to happen there. Right? We have His Word, and we can depend on what His Word says, that there's going to be no more crying, there's going to be no more pain, there's going to be no more suffering for those who are believers, that they're going to be with Him. We have His Word on that, but we really don't know everything. Right? Jesus, verse 34, answered and said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed the burning bush passage, the dead are raised, and when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living, for all who believe in him." See, they were looking at earthly things, and he went to a completely different level. And I love this. Listen, isn't God called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? But not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob historically, but I have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are still living with God. Isn't that powerful? In other words, listen, we have this hope on the inside of us. Quit talking about the earthly things and look to the heavenly things. And sometimes, even as we're walking through this life, if we get so bogged down by what's here right now, we forget to look at the one who has paid the price so that we're going to live eternally with Him. I'm no longer just a human being that's going to die and go to the earth, but I'm one that is going to, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to be with Him, and one day He's going to come back, and my body is going to be made eternal, and it's going to be a completely different realm and a completely different thing. But we have to take Him as He is and not as we perceive Him to be. So when He's talking to the religious folks, He had to talk to them at their level, but they still didn't get it. Right? Right? I think we need to say, "Jesus, I need you to talk to me as a son." As a son or a daughter. And Jesus talked differently to His disciples than He did to the religious folks. Right? He's coming back and he's trying to prepare His disciples for what's coming. And they didn't get it. Right? They didn't get it. Because they're still arguing who's going to be the greatest. And when is this going to happen? And when is that going to happen? But look at verse 45 of chapter 20. It said, "Then in the hearing of all the people, He said to His disciples," get that picture. He's got a whole group of people around him. The religious folks, everybody else is all around him. And then he turns to his disciples and he's going to say something. It's like, you're in the midst of the world. You're in the midst of everything that's going on around you. But I'll speak to you differently than... Because why? Because you can hear me and they can't. You can perceive because the Holy Spirit is with you to be able to perceive. And you have ears to hear. But for them, he said in another place, it's not for them to hear. Because even though they have ears, they don't have the ability to perceive what I'm saying. And that speaks to me the fact that even in this hour, he is able to talk to his children in a different way than he talks to the world. Is he with you? Is he for you? Come on, he'll still speak to you and he'll lead you and he'll guide you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 45. Again, it says, in the hearing of the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at the feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, they will receive greater condemnation. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, quit looking for people and the way that they come across. Quit looking at those that are out for money. Quit looking for those that don't have the right attitude and the right perception. Quit looking at those because I have a message that's different and I'll bring it through people who have a heart to hear what I'm saying because I'm going to get that through to you. But beware of the scribes. Now, I'm going to say that a little bit differently. Beware of those who think they know it all. Right? And as a pastor, and as your pastor, I am very concerned about the hour that we live in. And even, I think, we're live streaming right now. I love the internet, and I love what's going on with the internet. Right? I love the fact that there are people at home that couldn't come this morning, but they're watching, and I love that. But there is a danger even in the internet because there's many voices out there, and they're not all speaking from the Spirit of God. They're speaking from the place of religion. They're speaking from their own heart. They're speaking from them wanting to be great, right? The human condition is, I want you to see me and to glorify me. And that's never the place of a servant of God. It has to, and this is hard. I mean, this is a place that we always have to check ourselves because it's easy to say, you know, I want to look good. I want you to perceive me as good. And I want you to look at me better than even you look at yourself. But God said, that's not it. That's not who you're supposed to listen to. You're supposed to listen to the people who are after me with all of their heart, right? Beware. Beware of the scribes. And who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples, but who's all around him? The scribes. He just talked to the Sadducees and the Pharisees are there. And he said, beware of these guys. Because even though they might have some knowledge of God, they don't have the heart of God. Right? Jesus was there. Jesus was about to go to the cross. Jesus was about to fulfill the scripture that brought the cleansing to human beings that made us the ability that we could be right with God. He was right there and they didn't get it. Right? And he said, beware of the scribes because there's people around you that can lead you in the wrong direction. So what am I saying? I'm saying for this morning, for us, we have to take courage in the fact that Jesus will lead us and guide us, but we need to be seeking Him and seeking His Spirit in Jesus' name. Chapter 21. And I love this because this is still the same thing today. It says, so they ask him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? See, they were all concerned. Jesus, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? When is this event going to happen? When is the return? When is your kingdom going to be set up? When is it? And it's not that much different than today, right? Because we're all, when's the rapture going to happen? When's this going to happen? What's the sign? Is could this be it? Could that be it? And he kind of talks to them about some things in here. And we're going to read them. But really he's saying that's not really the question that you should have. The question that you should have is, what am I saying to you? And how can you be used by me? Right? That it's down to, look at, this isn't about out there. It's about in here. Verse 8 says, take heed that you need not be deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. And then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my namesake. But it will turn out for you on occasion for testimony. In other words, he's not saying, listen, when I leave, when my kingdom is established, everything's going to be great for you. You're going to go through some troubles and some tribulations. So when you see the signs that are happening, like we're seeing today, you know, we're seeing wars, rumors of war, and the prophecy that's been fulfilled, we have to be at the end of the last days. Paul thought he was in the last days. He was instructing his people to be ready, be ready. He could come any moment. He could come any time and establish his kingdom. And I think that needs to be our message even today. Be ready, be ready. Be constantly ready and seeking God and seeking his face and seeking what his hand is. Be ready. Come on, get ready. Stay ready. Be ready. Right? But I'm really concerned because I've been at this for a while and I've listened to prophecy teachers for years and years and years and years. And prophecy is great. It's a subject in the Bible that needs to be taught, and that's great. But when it's taught to the place of fear for God's people, it's not right. Because prophecy should never bring fear to God's people from the standpoint, I'm afraid of where I am or I'm afraid of what's happening. It should always lead us to the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, the being in God's presence and say, Lord, I just want more of you. I heard this pastor say this. He said, the fear of God for Christians is, I am afraid of offending you. I'm not afraid of you, but I'm afraid of offending you. I don't want anything in my life that you look down at me and go, you know, boy, I thought better of you, right? So our perspective has to be that God, he's coming again, and his prophecy is coming again, and some of these things are going to happen, and they're happening right now. Let me take one verse for you because it's kind of... Well, it doesn't really, we don't really get it to the full depths of what it's saying. He said in verse 10, he said to them, nations will rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. The word nation here in the Greek is not America or Britain, or it's people groups. It's ethnos. It's people groups. What does that look like? Democrats, Republicans. That looks like, you know, black, white, you know, male, female. Whatever group of people, whatever you can. And in the last days, it's going to be such that everybody's at everybody's throat. That's what it's saying. And watch this. Who's at the source of that? The thief who comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. He's the one that's trying to get us pit against one another. Right? And in the last days, in the days that we're living right now, it's so apparent to me, it's almost laughable. Because we have people telling us that we're apart when we're really not apart. We have groups that are trying to cause chaos and confusion because of where we're living and what we're at. So I'm not afraid of all that. I don't spend much time on that. I know that God is with me, and I know that God's told me to love you, and that we're all the same in His sight, and that, you know, that's where we need to come from, right? Living in the last days, but not being part of the last days. I want to skip ahead and focus on this. Where should we be? Jesus is coming, and He's coming again. He's coming again. And Paul said, and Peter said, and all of those, you better be ready. He's going to come as a thief in the night. You better be ready. And the church is to be such that our hearts, now I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about His kids. You and me, each one of us, His kids need to be ready. And how do you become ready? You get ready by seeking His face. I said you get ready by seeking Him. You get ready by saying, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me as it lines up with your word? I don't want to be part of the world, Lord. I want to be part of what you're saying and what you're doing. But if you're really serious about that, you're going to get people not liking you. Hello? If you really say, well, I believe this is the Bible. I believe this is God's word. I believe He meant every word of it. I believe everything that it says in here. You're going to, yeah, but that doesn't line up with us right now. You're going to say, listen, I'm talking about getting ready for Jesus coming. It's like if I'm going to draw close to Him, I have to be ready for the onslaught of persecution when I make a stand on His word. You might not like it, and I understand that, but it doesn't matter to me necessarily what you like. Right? I have to be where He wants me to be. But watch this. He's preparing His disciples. In chapter 22 and verse 24. I love this. This happens in churches all the time. He said, now there was also a dispute among them as to which one of them should be considered the greatest. You know, there's only one that should be considered the greatest. Right? There's only one. His name is Jesus. Right? Jesus is the greatest. The rest of us, you know what our job is? To humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He might lift us up. I'm not talking about living a life of condemnation, but I am talking about a living a life where you're seeking His will, His purpose, His opinion, rather than your own. Rather than your own. Who's going to be the greatest among us, right? Is it going to be Peter? That's got to be John. You love John the most. Or you love, you know, Andrew. Or who is it? Who is it? I want it to be me. I want to be right there. And listen to what he says. Verse 25. He said to them, the kings of the Gentile exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them can be called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For he who is greater who sits at the table, or is it he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. In other words, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to have a servant's heart where we're serving people with his heart. We're doing things like telling the truth in love, even when love hurts the other person's opinion or viewpoint. Right? Yeah, I'm sorry for the way what happened to you. I'm sorry for all this. But here's what the Bible says. And I love you enough to tell you what the Bible says, because it's the Bible that's going to help you. If we're going to be prepared, we've got to, first of all, humble our own hearts. And then with our humbled hearts, we need to serve one another. Isn't it amazing? Jesus is preparing his disciples. They're at the Last Supper, and you know, dinner's over, and he takes off his clothes, wraps himself, and he begins to wash their feet. And what's he doing? He's saying, this is how you operate in my kingdom. Not who's the greatest, but who can I serve? Jesus, the Son of God, at the table going, just a minute, boys. Takes and wraps himself and puts a towel around, gets a bowl of water and starts. And Peter, he said, not me. You're not touching my feet. You're not touching my feet. And I love the way Jesus dealt with Peter. He said, look at dude. If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part of me. Peter goes, oh, well then do everything. Wash my hair, wash my, do it all, man. I want more. I want all of it. And Jesus goes, oh God. Yeah. Shakes his head at Peter over and over again. What's the point I'm trying to make? It's this. In these last days, we've got to be careful to be looking to God and His ways and not keeping ourselves in an elevated position in our own minds, but begin to humble ourselves and begin to serve others as He directs us through His Word. You know, it's interesting to me that I was thinking about this today. You ever heard the expression, the center of the world? You know, the center of the universe. Have you ever heard that expression? I figured out what the center of the universe was. For me, it's between my two ears. Because I look at everything through these eyes and through this mind and through this, you know, my perspective is the truth, right? What I believe because that's what I believe. And my experience with other people is what it is. And so, therefore, the center of the whole universe is through this framework. I've lived a long time. I found out that this framework isn't always right. I've learned that I could be... I could be... wrong. Now here's the cool thing about that. When we finally realize that and humble ourselves to that, we can go, Lord, I don't want my framework anymore. I want your framework. See, what we've just done there is we've taken ourselves as center of the universe and we've made him the center of the universe. So, Lord, I want your opinion. So when you're praying for somebody that's hurt you and really your heart is, I know, Holy Ghost, that you're going to get them. Sick them, Holy Ghost. They did this to me. They did that to me. And you say, no, Lord, forget them because that's between you and them. But right now, Lord, deal with my heart in this situation. Right? See, when he comes, I want to be ready for his coming. But in order for me to be ready for his coming, my heart has to be at the place that he wants it at. So what am I saying to you this morning? Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples' hearts for what was coming. He's doing the same thing with us this morning. He wants us to prepare for what's coming. And the place that you prepare is when you're in your quiet time with the Lord on your knees or in the Word or whatever and say, Holy Spirit, I know what my framework is. I know what the center of the universe is for me. But I want to take those off and give you opportunity to show me my heart. I love David, and David was a rascal, right? He did some things that just blows you away, but he was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. You know what? And I really believe that one of the main meanings of that is that he was always after God. He was after God's opinion. And if he messed up, like when he messed up with Uriah, Nathan came to him, he was quick to repent because, God, don't take your presence away from me. That I don't ever want. I don't want. I'm after you, God. I'm after you. See, what I'm saying is that Jesus is coming soon. But we have to get back to the place that we're after God more than we're after the things that surround us. That we're after God more than we are the people that make us mad. We're after God more than we're after anything else. God, I want your opinion. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. But if that's really true in your life and in your heart, it can't be from this perspective. It has to be from this perspective. Whatever you want, Lord. Whatever you want. We have to walk in His presence in order to have His perspective. Amen? Did y'all get something this morning? I want to pray because I really feel like the Lord wants to touch some folks in here today. And all those that are online, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and I'm really not talking about believing in Jesus, because the devil believes in Jesus. What I'm talking about is surrendering your will to His will and say, I need Jesus to be Lord of my life. My opinion no longer matters. It's what Jesus wants for me. If you're there and you need Jesus to be Lord of your life, just surrender to Him right now. In your own heart, your own mind, your own way, just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need help. Come and fill my heart. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe that God raised Him from the dead. You'll be saved. Trust Him because He's got a plan for you. Father, I just pray for all those that are suffering in their bodies over the internet, that you would just touch them where they are to heal them. I just speak to a spirit of confusion that's over that person right now in the name of Jesus. I command confusion to stop in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you'll start seeking God, clarity will come in a greater capacity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.